Hey, what's up? This is Joey Allen from Warrant, and you are on the Road to Rock. Turn it up.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the Road to Rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Carmine, we got to cut to the chase, man. You've got a new album out. It is tremendous. It came out on September 24th via Cleopatra. It's called Energy Overload. It is a tremendous tour de force. And I am so happy. The production that you've been on, and the way that you've been releasing music over the past few years has been tremendous. Tell us about this album, kind of how it came about. Was this kind of your classical COVID album? Like, or do you have this kind of?
It was kind of like that, but it was also first time I ever did a engineered my own album. Drums anyway, because we moved in the middle of COVID. We moved from Connecticut to Florida.
Oh, wow.
And I got a guest house here that I made into a studio. You know, so there's like a living room, a kitchen, and a bedroom. So I have the living room and the kitchen area. The drums are set up in the living room. The room mics are in the kitchen area, and the drums are always set. So I just walk in there, turn on the computer, and I got my drum sound ready to go. Unlike when I used to have to go into studio, I'll call my roadie brings my drums, they set them up, and we get 2 hours of getting drum sounds. And then by the time you get to the studio, you have 3 or 4 hours before you could actually start recording.
Yeah.
This way, even if I want to re-record, like I just yesterday, I'm producing as my friend Lisa G, I'm doing songs for her. So I didn't like the first two bars of the second chorus. So I went in, just punched it in. It has the same exact sound because the drums never move, you know? And it's great, it's so much fun. You just walk through the garage, go into the guest house, turn on the lights, turn on the computer, and you're ready to go.
Yeah. And now we have Energy Overload. Talk about, because this album, I feel like, you know, for one, why, what was the thought process behind making this simply an instrumental album? And I say simply, not that it's simplistic, but what was the thought process behind it?
Well, I mean, it was, excuse me. Fernando knew Tom Dowd, the great producer, Tom Dowd. So I got a call from Tom Dowd's daughter and said, there's a guy that Tom was going to work with before he passed away. He wants you to play on a couple of tracks of an instrumental album. I said, okay, so I'm thinking, well, if this guy's good, I can have some good practice on how to record in my studio. Because, you know, I only done like maybe, I think I did an Arthur Brown track with Brian Olga for my studio, and I did something for Modern Drummer, and I did something else for Cleopatra. I think it was Pink Floyd's song. But, you know, now I'm engineering it. I'm doing it all. So I needed more practice, you know, just getting better drum sounds and all that.
Sure.
And so when he called me, I thought to myself, well, this could be a good opportunity if this guy's good to really learn how to work my studio and practice, you know. So I sent him, I said, let's try it out. So I sent him a song that I wrote on my iPad. I write these songs on iPad with GarageBand, and I sing on it and I play on it and I play all the instruments. And so I sent him this one track that I had a vocal on it, but I had a different melody that I wrote. And I did it with a young girl that wrote a melody. But I thought, let me see what it would be like with the instrumental. So I sent it to him, he sent it back. And I put the drums on it, and it came out great. There was a song called Thunder on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he was good at naming the songs too. So
yeah.
He named it Thunder because it had a really thunderous drum sound going. So then I said, well, let's try another one. So this is another one, which is Funky Jackson. It was called that because when I had it on my iPad, it sounded like a Michael Jackson kind of song, you know? Until I put the real drums on it, then it changed it. So I sent it to him and he sent it back and he embellished it his own way. And he played bass, guitar, and keyboard, you know? So I put the drums on it and then we mixed it. I said, wow, it sounds great. So he said, I said, why don't you send me some of yours? So he sent me some of his, which was, I believe it was the Little Havana song.
Ah, yep.
And then when I finished doing it, I said, now I want to add to this. So I did a press roll. And then I went into this really fast double bass drum shuffle, like a Parchment Farm from Cactus or Hot for Teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it was just drums. So I told him, look, I added this to it. So why don't you put some guitar and bass and see if that works, we can keep it. If it don't, we'll get rid of it. So he put some guitar and bass on. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, this is good. So he said, yeah, it was great. He said, you know, the way you play drums, you do fills. When you do a fill, you do it right at the right spot where I can hear a chord change. And I said, well, look, I have some other drum tracks if you want to try it. So I sent him another drum track, and that track became Rocket to the Sun, which was the first video.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, and I'm like impressed. I said, wow, this is pretty wild. I never wrote songs like this, you know. So we ended up doing 5 songs like that on the album. So in the end, we ended up with 18 songs. And now I'm getting good at getting my drum sounds. I had 2 of my old bass drums I got from New York down here. And I put them up and they sounded great. So now I got this killer drum sound going there. And we keep recording. So we did 18 songs. I said, you know what, let me see if I can get a small record deal just to get this stuff out, because, you know, we got it. Let's see if we put it out. So I called my buddies at Cleopatra and they said, yeah, let's do it. So we did it. We got, you know, no big advances or nothing, but, you know, we got it out. And my buddy Pat Regan, I'm sorry, my buddy Stevie, took the mixes that we did. Fernando's buddy mixed it, guy Zach. And we took all the mixes and bounced it all to analog. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So back again.
Interesting.
Warmer sounding, you know. And then we did the first video. But went to LA, we did 2 videos. The second one was supposed to come out today. Goldmine magazine was supposed to present it, but I've seen nothing for it. So I called the promo guy and I think somebody messed up somewhere.
Well, yes, we'll be looking for that for sure. Just talk about your kind of chemistry with Fernando Perdomo. Like, this is a tremendous guitarist. What was your guys' chemistry like kind of during all this?
Well, it was great. He was very easy to get along with, you know, great ideas. And you know, it wasn't just guitar playing. He played bass and keyboard too, you know? So I played drums and percussion and helped co-write the songs with different melodies in my head and stuff. And the ones that I wrote on my iPad, I wrote all out, but, you know, but we decided no matter who brings what to the table, we're just going to share it equally.
Yeah.
You know? Because that way, you know, it's fair. And, you know, we never had a fight, an argument about, you know, doing something. If I'd say, well, I really don't like that. Can we, it's in 4/4. Let's make it 7/8, you know, or that thing is too straight and sit in 4/4. Let's make it like 3 bars of 4 and a bar of 6. You know, so it makes it creative, you know, and progressive a bit, you know, because, you know, doing an instrumental album with straight 4/4 is pretty boring, you know. So,
well, yeah, this is anything but boring, Carmine. This is absolutely just straight ahead, great melodies, great drum sound. The production's tremendous, and I hope everybody will pick it up. And you've been so. I always enjoy the projects you get involved in, because it's always like kind of something will come out of nowhere. For instance, the album you did with your brother Vinny, Sinister, yeah. Right back in 2017. Yeah. How much fun was that? I love Vinny. He's been on the show many times. That was such a good album. And what was that experience like with you working with your brother?
That was great, you know, because Vinny, at the time, I didn't have a studio. So I had to go into a studio in New Jersey and do it. And Vinny did his in L.A. And then one time I went to his house and we both did it. In his studio, we did his drum part, then I did my part. And, you know, we experimented with putting this on the right and the left. And one time we went straight down the middle. you know, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm trying to get him to, I have a demo of a new song, which is a killer song, that I wanted to use to get another record deal, you know, and 8 months I've been trying to get him to play it.
Come on. Come on, Vinny.
Yeah.
Let's
but
go.
We're both seeing the fact, the money, the writing on the wall, that really, you know, I'm doing a King Cobra record right now, and the two guitar players don't want to do it, didn't want to do it because of the same reason like I think Vinny is. He said, you know, you could put all that work into these albums and then nobody hears them. Yeah. Nobody buys them.
Yeah.
Nobody hears them. So it's like, we're better off just going out playing the hits that we're known for, you know, like we do Mob Rules, we do Bark at the
Moon. Yeah.
We do Do You Think I'm Sexy, Done Heavy, like on Guitar Zeus. You know, we do Sinister from the record. We do, you know, other couple of Riot from the record, you know, but that's also a Blue Murder song, you know, so it's songs that are a part of our history. And we did, you know, Drum Wars and stuff like that. But, you know, because the people like to identify with songs when they go to a show.
Sure.
When you hit them with a whole new song or a whole set of new songs, it's not good, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. So we're, you know, we just did three shows and we're going to do more shows. When Vivian goes out with Def Leppard next year, we're going to try and book a shitload of shows with me and Vinny.
Tremendous. You know, you talk about a lineage in this business, Carmine, that is you to a T. You've been there and done that. You mentioned King Cobra. You kind of relaunched the band in 2011. You did two records.
Yes.
King Cobra and King Cobra 2.
And then we did a live record at Sweden Rock Festival.
So we got a new one. So I don't know how to really bring up King Cobra without asking you about Johnny Rodd, who's been on the show a couple times. And it is, they are the two most unhinged interviews I've ever done. I've never got control of him. And you can probably attest to that.
He's out of his mind.
You said that so deadpan, like, no, there's no punchline. That's just the case. So what's going on? Is he involved with what's going on?
He's involved.
He does
the bass last. You know, we put all the songs together. We offered him to bring some songs in. He didn't yet. But we have two different guitar players. We got Rowan Robinson from Dio.
I love him.
And we got Carlos Cavazo from Quiet Riot.
Holy, yeah. I love
that's the songs are, and yeah, I think it's like King Cobra meets Led Zeppelin, this album. It's really badass because Rowan is English. He writes riffs like an English guitar.
He does.
You know, and Carlos is American. So it's interesting to see the combination, you know, of the two. And we just sent Carlos four songs today that have me, Rowan, Paul, and Paul plays bass a bit. So he just put a temporary bass on. So Carlos has something to play to, you know. And, you know, it's taken a while because we're doing it, you know, with the internet, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
but we got 10 or 11 songs. You know, we got maybe 9 of them recorded, all the drum tracks anyway. You know, so I would imagine we're going to try and get it out for February, March next year.
Awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm going to do shows. I want to do shows with King Cobra.
Yeah.
You know, when we played Sweden Rock, we rocked on heavy duty. Paul's a great frontman, great singer.
Yes.
And, you know, we recorded a live album that you can find on the internet. And Deco Records is doing my Guitar Zeus 25th anniversary album that comes out this month. They released it on digital and it's really a good record. A really great live record. You know, we did all the big hits, you know, Ready to Strike and Shadow Rider and Hunger and all that stuff.
Oh,
and then
we did
Iron Eagle, you know, done heavier now. And then we did some stuff from the newer albums. And then we did a really great thing. Paul did Heaven and Hell as a tribute to Ronnie, because we got a song that we wrote that we put on our album, my brother, Monsters and Heroes.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a King Cobra song. And Paul wrote the lyrics. That's why he sang it on the record. And that original, that version was a King Cobra version. We added Vinny to it. We gave that King Cobra version to Wendy Dio as a present for 5 years for her cancer fund, you know? So with the cancer fund, then we got it back, and that's when I did it with Vinny. So I said to Paul, gotta do Monsters and Heroes, because, you know, our album was out already.
Yeah.
So we did Heaven and Hell, just with Paul and the audience, no music. And I'm like, sing me a song.
That whoa, vocal.
Whoa, all that stuff. And right into Monsters and Heroes, which is about Ronnie.
That's awesome. You
know? And so we had them singing both songs. It was awesome.
What a moment.
That's a great moment. And you know, and Paul worked with Ronnie, you know, Ronnie managed him with Wendy. Ronnie produced the Rough Cut stuff. You know, it's really close. You know, Vinny played with him. Ronnie was like family to me. You know, and on holidays, Ronnie used to come to our house. You know, she had really nobody in LA. You know, he was real close to my brother, you know, not close to me. So that's good. So we'll probably do that on a show coming up when we do shows.
I can't wait for that to happen. I tell you, Carmine, when you interview someone like you, your accolades are so prodigious. And I look at this and you think about things like, I mean, you're in Rolling Stones magazine's 100 greatest drummers of all time. You've been named classic rock drummer of the year several times, modern rock drummers. Does it mean anything to you? Does it mean something to you to be recognized, or to you? Or are you so singularly focused on the music and moving forward that?
It really does, because you know what? Everybody says, how come you guys aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? You know, I say, you know what? I don't really care. Because I got all these other things, you know, the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame, the Rock Icon, this one, the Music Hall of Fame of Long Island, you know, this one, that one, Modern Drummer Hall of Fame, Guitar Center, Legends, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame doesn't, I don't really care. If we don't get in there, we don't get in there. I mean, I just said something about the Go-Go's being in there. They made it all of a blabbermouth and all these websites. You know, Carmine Appice putting down the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and saying, you know, why are the Go-Go's in there? And really, why are they in there?
Yeah, that could be said for so many artists. Every year, I'm baffled. I don't think Iron Maiden got in last year.
No.
Iron Maiden didn't get in.
No, is Alice Cooper in? I don't think so.
Yes, they did go in a few years ago with the original band. They play. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. Well,
this is all good. Within the last couple of years. They finally got, there's so many. Like Kiss went in finally, Van Halen. I mean, there's so many that just were on the outside. And I think even Deep Purple, after all these years, got in there. And David Coverdale was on hand, and Glenn.
I thought it was about influence.
Of course.
Now, who influenced Deep Purple?
Well, Vanilla Fudge. Yeah. yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, who influenced I can name 10 to 12 drummers right now. I mean, that do you directly
influence?
I mean,
we influenced Styx, we influenced Yes, we influenced
Rush.
ELP, we influenced
Rush. Yeah.
Anybody that was doing progressive rock, I mean, come on, we were like the first guys.
Phil Collins, even, you could say, really? Genesis? Huh? Genesis and Phil Collins, yeah.
Well, Phil Collins, when we played the Atlantic 40th anniversary, we came up the stage. Phil was right there behind the stage, and he came up to me and said, "You don't know how much influence you guys had on me."
See, yeah. Right there.
So, I like I said, I don't really care.
Yeah,
it's not going to change my life. You know, it's not going to. All of a sudden, you're in the Rock Hall of Fame. Our price ain't going to go up. We're not going to draw any more people. You know.
No.
More people are not going to buy our record. Even though we were in the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And that's like that's a big deal. It quadrupled our royalties.
If Tarantino puts you in one of his movies, that's kind of, that's gold right there, because he has such eclectic taste.
You know, it's like, it's current.
Yeah, it keeps.
Current. I just told the manager, I said, you know, when we start doing more gigs, we got to put that in the advertising. Because a lot of people saw that movie and even bought their soundtrack or whatever and didn't know who it was in there doing that. You know, I mean, you got to use whatever you have to promote. I mean, come on.
It's amazing how people find music. I see young kids that might find that YouTube clip of that from the movie and that song's in it. And that's how they know the song is just Maybe they didn't even watch the movie. They found this YouTube clip from the movie with the song in it.
Yeah, I think that YouTube clip has millions of hits.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think that what that means, though, Carmine, is that this music, everything you've been a part of, is everlasting. And it never, it will never go. It will never go away. And that's what you take from it, is the legacy is forever, man.
Well, I'm happy because, you know, I have that. I have all the stuff I did with Rod Stewart. Are still classic, you know. And even, you know, the one thing I did with Ozzy, Bark at the Moon, is probably, you know, a great time for Ozzy, you know.
It was, all of it. And I was a big King Cobra fan from the movie soundtrack, Iron Eagle, and all that. And it's weird. You've existed in so many unbelievable moments and so many unbelievable bands, and Vanilla Fudge. And I mean, you were out there and you're playing shows with the Doors and you were so influential. And yet your career has been, it's been so strange because, you know, you play with guys like Rod Stewart, Ozzy, you do all these things, Paul Stanley, you were on the Paul Stanley solo record. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
And yet you've never been maybe like since maybe Vanilla Fudge, like in a band that has been solidified, you know what I'm saying? So it's almost like you've done all these things and you continue to release material. Is that what keeping your eyes forward and releasing things and doing different things? Is that kind of what keeps you
going? You know, I just want to play.
Yeah. Well, that's simple enough, right?
That's it. You know, I mean, whatever it takes, you know, and if, you know, when I joined Ozzy, I wanted to stay there. I wanted to write songs. I wanted to help. They brought me in to help produce. On the first 500,000 of those Bark at the Moon albums, I'm listed as an associate producer, you know, because they wanted me to come in and produce the drum sound and better the drum sound. It was Tommy Aldridge. They said they didn't like what he played and they didn't like his drum sound. So they asked me to come in and I did the video playing to Tommy's drums. And then I did the tour and then they brought Tommy back because Sharon said my name was too big. We need more of a sideman.
That's interesting. When you do look at the band over the years, you know, Rudy Sarzo's in there very momentarily. Jakey Lee, and it seems like when the name got as, you know, as identifiable as Ozzy itself, the members would change. So maybe there was something to that.
Well, I went in and it only took me 3 months.
Tommy Aldridge, I mean, what a heavy hitter he is.
And Tommy done a lot of stuff, but Tommy's never done like, you know, he's never looked at as a individual artist at like doing his own albums and stuff like that.
That's
he's
true.
He's been a sideman to somebody.
Maybe Black Oak Arkansas days, but yes.
That was the only time he was in a band then.
Right.
And then after that, he was a sideman as White, say what?
Yep. You know, Nugent, you know. He did Ted. You both did Ted. You both played with Ted, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I'm still good friends with Ted.
I as well. And it was the summer wasn't the same without a Ted Nugent summer tour. So the world was on its side and hopefully we get it back. Carmine, let's make sure that happens. Let's make sure we can get to see more shows from guys like you, from maybe some you and Vinny, some King Cobra shows, anything else. We hope we get that coming up in 2022. We really hope we do, for sure.
I tried last week. I was supposed to be doing 3 Cactus shows. There were so many things worked against it. I just said, you know what? Let's do it next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
sure.
We booked the gigs. Everyone said, fine. Then this singer says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go out in COVID. Well, why don't you say that in the first place?
Right. Yeah.
Now we booked it and, you know, we worked everything out. We bought tickets and stuff. So I was going to bring another singer. Then the guitar player had carpal tunnel surgery and it was supposed to be okay. He's not okay. The harmonica player's wife had to have surgery, so he had to stay home. And we got another harmonica player. Then one of the promoters didn't know that the gig was confirmed.
Oh.
So he only had like 3 or 4 weeks to promote it. So after that, I said to the manager, I said, you know what? God's telling me, don't do these gigs. Let's do it next year.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the stars align.
Get them more together.
Yes, know? Yes. The stars hopefully align to that. And before we let you go, Carmine, I got to again bring up the new album. It's called Energy Overload. It's via Cleopatra Records. You can check it out via your website, carmenapeace.net. Thank you so much, and Carmine.
And Spotify and YouTube.
Yes.
Energy Overload and YouTube. All the songs come up. And you listen to it, they're really kick ass.
They are indeed. I employ anyone that's a fan of yours, that's a fan of hard rock from any era that you represent, to please check us out. Carmine, thank you so much for taking the time. You are the best, my friend.
Thank you,
stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll hopefully see you here in the near future up in a live setting.
Hey, man.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.